I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. This is Fronteras, a program about issues along the U.S.-Mexico border and changing demographics in the Southwest. Many people point to one picture that changed the conversation about family separation at the border. A small child in a bright pink jacket, blue jeans, and pink sneakers is crying uncontrollably. The picture is taken at ground level as she looks up at her mother, who's speaking with a U.S. Customs and Border Protection official. All you see of the adults are their lower bodies. Their torsos and faces are out of the frame. This is how the child sees the world. We're experiencing her emotions at her level. The 2-year-old and her Honduran mother had crossed the Rio Grande in hopes of seeking asylum in the U.S. They were stopped in McAllen. Though the mother and daughter were not, in fact, separated, they were taken together to a detention center, that picture made the Trump administration's zero-tolerance policy personal. It was shared through social media worldwide and even made it to the cover of Time magazine. The photojournalist who took that picture is John Moore, a staff photographer and special correspondent for Getty Images. Moore has covered Ebola in Liberia, healthcare in the U.S., and various other issues around the world. He's also covered undocumented immigration for 10 years. He's photographed the entire length of the southern border and traveled into Central America and Mexico. Moore has compiled a decade's worth of images into his photo book, Undocumented, Immigration and the Militarization of the United States-Mexico Border. I spoke with Moore about a month prior to his having taken that famous photograph. He talks about his start covering the U.S.-Mexico border 10 years ago.
I had just returned from almost my whole career living outside the U.S. For 17 years, I had been based abroad, and much of that time was in Latin America. So as a photographer in Mexico City, and also based earlier in my career in Nicaragua, I had seen immigration from a very different perspective. And so when I moved back to the U.S., I came really with new eyes. And as a photographer, new eyes are really important. One of our greatest enemies in this profession is blindness. It's not physical blindness, but when we stop seeing things around us, then it's hard to make pictures. And so I went to the border and found a really human and dramatic story there in terms of people willing to give up everything that they know from their home countries and make this very difficult journey north. I was struck by the humanity of it and also by the incredible effort made by U.S. border agencies to stop these folks. And it's both stopping human smuggling, human trafficking, and narco smuggling as well. I should mention, U.S. border agencies are sort of military in structure. And so if you learn how to work within a military unit and photograph and get access, that it helped me, in my case, to get access to the U.S. Border Patrol, U.S. Air and Marine, other border agencies that are tasked with controlling the flow of illegal immigration and narco-trafficking. And so for me, really, learning how to get access to different groups, whether it's immigrant groups and speaking Spanish to help get access there, or whether it's border agencies, getting access has been key for me to getting inside the story.
And that access to me, seeing some of these pictures, is very personal, especially when you see some of the images. For example, there are images of parents who are carrying the coffin of their young children who were kidnapped and killed when the parents couldn't afford a ransom. And then there are other images of sicarios, the portraits of the assassins who are the ones who carry out the death sentences of the cartels. Other very personal moments where it just seems the timing of the photos is just so exquisite that you just capture this moment in time. What are some examples of those contexts that you got for some of those stories that you were able to tell with just a photograph, some of those families whose lives were touched by death?
Well, for me to tell this story of immigration and border issues, I approached it from as many angles as I could. I see that sometimes in certain media, the whole issue is presented as black and white. And it's not that way at all. We're talking about human beings on all sides of the issue. When I approached the edit for the book, I had to think of a way to tell a narrative. And part of that narrative was showing in Central America and Mexico the conditions that drive people away from their homes. In both Honduras and Mexico, I was working with local journalists to get access to crime scenes where I could show really this incredible level of violence that causes people to leave. And in San Pedro Sula, Honduras, I went out and through a local contact was able to go out with sicarios, with self-described assassins who do hits really for a living. And I did a series of portraits on them. As with other groups, whether they be undocumented immigrants and also Border Patrol trainees, I did a series of portraits of people's faces to try and humanize the story. Now, most of the pictures in this book are documentary in nature. The portraits which appeared on gatefolds in different parts of the book were able to give a visual reference that was consistent, showing each group as human beings. Now, in Acapulco, which is normally known for its tourism, you know, Acapulco has become one of the most high crime and certainly with the highest murder rates of any city in the world for a country that's not in active war. When I was there, there were at least a dozen homicides, executions every single day. And the photographer I worked with had access to the medical examiner's office, and they would call him every time there was a fresh murder, and we would go from crime scene to crime scene. Now, I should say that my local colleagues, whether it be in Mexico or Central America, especially now in Mexico, are working under really dangerous conditions. When I go down, I try to tell a story, and I do it in a few weeks, and then I come back later on, but they do it day in and day out, and so many journalists have been killed over the last few years.
And Mexico, and especially for a while, Ciudad Juarez, journalists had been getting murdered. It was considered one of the most dangerous places for journalists next to the Middle East.
It's true. It's a constant threat for photojournalists and reporters trying to cover the story, not just of immigration, but of drug trafficking especially. And as we've seen, many of the same smuggling networks for drugs are now in control of human smuggling as well. And so it's dangerous not just for the journalists that are covering it, but of course for the immigrants who have to come up through that perilous system. Now, part of my coverage was of the journey of people coming up, and I address that really in the second chapter of this book, people coming up on top of train tops known as La Bestia, or walking long distances. And people, depending on where they come from, whether it's Honduras or Guatemala or somewhere in Mexico, they pay different prices to smugglers to bring them up. It's a lot of money, really, for anyone, though, down there. $8,000, $5,000 maybe on the lower end, $12,000, $15,000 on the higher end. And depending what you pay, you'll get a different type of service that brings you up. In Mexico, if you pay on the high end, you may end up traveling in private cars. You may come through tunnels under the U.S.-Mexico border. You may actually get through an official port of entry, whereas those who pay much less to smugglers, they get much more difficult treatment along the way. And the smugglers will oftentimes abandon them in any moment where there's danger, and oftentimes people will end up lost on vast ranches, not knowing which way to go. And really under the summer sun in this part of the country, northern Mexico and along the Texas-Mexico border, it's you don't last long without water in that environment.
Well, let's go back to La Bestia. That's an infamous train, again, you were saying, where immigrants pay coyote smugglers money to ride that train to a supposed better life, and you were able to gain access to ride on La Bestia with those immigrants, and that's essentially taking your life into your own hands, because a lot of these people who ride the train, they'll fall asleep, they'll slide off the train, or there'll be a fight and somebody will get pushed off the train. They'll lose a limb at the best or die at the worst. Was there anything ensuring your safety when you were atop the train?
Well, when I rode atop the beast for part of their journey, I tried to choose a place that was a little bit more safe than others. I went up in a section of Oaxaca between different stops. An immigrant who really I hired to work with me from an immigrant shelter in Oaxaca, he guided me to a place along the train route where the train had to go through a small town and slow down along the tracks. And we also boarded the train where it crossed over a road. And so instead of trying to jump over railroad ties, it was a flat surface. And so I could climb up the ladder a little bit more safely. Now, when I arrived on top of the train, which was covered with Central Americans on their tough journey, of course, people were a little bit surprised to see me when I walked up. But I explained that I was just trying to visually show just how difficult this was for them. And if it was okay, I'd like to show a little bit of that in pictures. I spent only 3 hours of journey on top of the beast. And even though I had water, by the time I got down at the next stop, I was completely exhausted and uneasy on my feet. And to imagine everyone going for days and weeks at a time on these trains is really incredible.
We are speaking with John Moore, special correspondent for Getty Images. He's photographed the entirety of the U.S.-Mexico border and has covered undocumented immigration for the last decade. He's collected some of those images in the photo book, Undocumented: Immigration and the Militarization of the United States-Mexico Border. When we come back, while covering the U.S.-Mexico border, John Moore was able to accompany U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement on numerous operations.
Going out with them when they're doing their operations, they don't like to call them raids, but they're raids.
We continue our conversation with John Moore coming up on Fronteras. Welcome back to Fronteras. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. Getty Images staff photographer John Moore has traveled the world covering topics as diverse as sports, entertainment, and political conflict. He spent a decade covering the issue of undocumented immigration. His new photo book, Undocumented: Immigration and the Militarization of the United States-Mexico Border, documents 10 years' worth of stories told in single frames, from devastated families whose children were killed by cartels and gangs, to sicarios, assassins who carry out the cartel death sentences, to immigration officials. Moore talks about how it was he was able to gather so many images from the varied and often treacherous terrain that makes up the U.S.-Mexico border.
To get those pictures, I was both on the ground, whether it be in Big Bend or in the desert in Arizona or Southern California. And sometimes I got access to U.S. border agencies' helicopters where I was flying over to have a completely different perspective. And when you look at the U.S.-Mexico border, whether it's the fence extending into the Pacific Ocean between San Diego and Tijuana, whether it's the Rio Grande in the morning with the mist rising and the curving, snake-like way that it moves through South Texas, you put it in perspective with grand vistas, especially from a helicopter, and you can see the difficulties that anyone would have in building a wall over such a varied terrain.
And those essays that precede each of the chapters, can you tell us some more about those?
I wrote the chapter introductions myself, and for me it was very important for all this text in the book, which is a photo book, but it contains a lot of text as well. It was important for me to have this in both Spanish and English. And so every time there's a chapter opening, there's a column of English on the left and Spanish on the right. And for me, it was important to be accessible to more people. And I also had various people write guest essays with this book. One of them was Tom Jelton, who had written a book on immigration himself. He's an NPR correspondent based in Washington. I also had Jeanette Vizquera, who is an immigrant activist and undocumented mother. She lives in Colorado. I began photographing her almost 10 years ago and have followed her story over the years as she's been fighting deportation and separation from her American children. Just a year ago, she was named one of Time magazine's top 100 most influential people. And that came from just all the activism and the eloquent way that she presents the humanity of being one of some 11 million people who are undocumented in this country, and most of which are very important both to society here and to the economy, and live very productive lives.
So was it overwhelming for you when you were looking back at those images that you've taken over the last decade or so and put them together into this anthology of sorts?
When I looked back at the photos I'd taken over these last 10 years, it was eye-opening, really, both in the changes that have happened over the years to migration north, and also in this present climate, the fear that's widespread, especially in the undocumented community. Because although there were many deportations under the years of President Obama, we know that, most people who were being arrested, not all, but most people had some sort of criminal record. Sometimes it was a minor infraction, sometimes it was more serious. Now, under the Trump administration, ICE will detain people anywhere in the country just because of their legal status. And so they may have committed no crime whatsoever other than being here without a valid visa. And they are all subject now to arrest. And I've been able to go actually on ICE deportation operations as well. It's very difficult to get access with ICE. I've been able to photograph in some of their detention centers as well. But going out with them when they're doing their operations, they don't like to call them raids, but they're raids. And they go after people, oftentimes with criminal records, but if there happens to be another dozen people there in the house or there in the neighborhood when they do these operations, they'll sweep them up as part of the arrests, whether they've actually committed additional crimes or any crimes or not. For me, getting access to places like detention centers, to immigrant shelters, to all the different groups involved in this big issue is a challenge and a very gratifying one for me. I really enjoy trying to tell stories that are tough ones to tell. And in this book, I was very conscious about presenting this story as a journalist and not as an activist. I have my personal opinions, we all do. There's no way we can be completely objective. But I tried to be fair to all sides and to show how difficult this journey is for people coming up, to show the fear that they live in now, but also show law enforcement and border agencies doing their jobs, not as devils, but as enforcers of the law. And in this country, if we want those border agencies to enforce the law in a different way, we should give them different laws and elect people to office that will make that happen.
Well, the book ends with portraits of people who have been lucky enough to get visas to come into the country or lucky enough to achieve asylum in the U.S., and they had gone through the naturalization service. And the interesting thing about these portraits is if you look back at the other portraits in the book, it'll tell you maybe what country they're from. And in these portraits, their names are all different. They, you know, it's a rainbow of people on those pages, but yet they're described as American. Can you explain why you chose to end the book with that?
Just recently, the U.S. government agency, which is tasked with immigration issues, with giving visas and green cards and citizenship, it's called USCIS, they changed part of their mission statement, which included taking out the phrase that this is a nation of immigrants, which I found extremely interesting and an example of how the Trump administration sees the role of government differently from all the past presidents in recent history. Covering naturalization ceremonies for me has been one of the great joys of this project. Because although the book focuses on undocumented immigration and the way that the U.S. government spends money to stop people from coming up, I'm also really interested in how people become American citizens. And I think it's important to remember that the number of people who are detained and arrested, folks who are deported, is actually much smaller than the much larger number of people who do successfully become American citizens and are able to achieve the American dream. And the current administration is trying various methods to cut the number of legal immigrants. But for me, to see people taking the oath of allegiance to the United States and enriching this country with their diversity is a great joy for me.
John Moore is a special correspondent and staff photographer with Getty Images. A graduate of the University of Texas at Austin, he's won numerous awards, including the 2005 Pulitzer Prize for Breaking News Photography and Photographer of the Year from Pictures of the Year International. Moore has spent 10 years covering the U.S.-Mexico border and has compiled a number of those photographs for the book Undocumented: Immigration and the Militarization of the United States-Mexico Border. Thanks for joining us this week on Fronteras. You can find the show under the Programs tab on our website, tpr.org, and wherever you get your podcasts. Norma Martinez produced the broadcast. Our executive producers are Steve Short and Fernando Ortiz. Our digital editor is Vince Kong. Charanga Cakewalk composed our theme music. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio.